Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Interviewing top sports personalities from around the nation in order to provide you next level insight and analysis into your Cleveland Browns. Blue Wire Hustle proudly presents All Eyes on Cleveland. And now, here is your host, Brad Ward.
Welcome to another edition of All Eyes on Cleveland. I am your host, Brad Ward. Tonight, a special bonus crossover edition like we always do about this time. The OBR film breakdown and host Jake Burns crosses over with myself, host of All Eyes on Cleveland. Tonight we discuss who would be impacted the most by a long suspension of quarterback one, Deshaun Watson, if it were to go down that way. And without any further waiting, here he is, the great Jake Burns.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into a weekend bonus edition of a... And listen, we got a crossover going on here, too. You get your crossover every week. Some days a little bit unpredictable, Brad, in terms of when we deliver the crossover episode, but we're going to get to this one on your Saturday. This is Jake Burns with the OBR Film Breakdown. I'm joined by Brad Ward of All Eyes on Cleveland, both of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. We are... kind of coming together to talk about something quick. This is not going to be a 45-minute episode. Sometimes Brad and I meander into that lengthy podcast episode stuff, but a couple guys that like to talk, imagine that, host
Guilty.
A podcast. Guilty. But I think this is an interesting topic, and I'm not sure if I saw this on – I think I might have seen it on Cleveland.com. And listen, I'm guilty here of not listening to many Cleveland podcasts. I just don't have time to listen to it when you're doing your own pod every day. So, like – I saw the topic and I was kind of fascinated to think about this, but the topic was tied to Deshaun Watson's suspension. And if it is a long suspension, which, man, if you want to pay attention to any part of like whatever you want to believe about what the suspension is going to be, you can find someone who is leaking news to support your suspension length. That's kind of what's going on. That's pretty funny to me right now. But like, you know, Florio's gone from indefinite suspension for sure to now saying that essentially it is a I think he tweeted tonight that nothing could I wouldn't be surprised by a zero game suspension.
Yeah.
And it's a moving target, man. It's all over the board. We know for sure, I think, Brad, we know for sure that at this point we're going to see a decision the week of July 11th. So Sue Robinson kind of let everybody go from the hearing for 3 days, and then the final hearings or final write-ups or final reports of what they want her to see, almost like the final closing conclusion statements or whatever.
Yeah, her post-hearing briefs are due July 11th, which I was like, holy crap, come on, man.
Yeah, doing their homework, right? They got to get their homework done.
What do we wait until the 11th for? I mean, write something up and get it in there. Come on.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's a bit weird to wait this long. I don't kind of unexpected too from a NFL that likes to kind of dump news over this sort of weekend where they could hide it. But nonetheless, it is all over the board for what this thing could end up being. So if it is a long suspension, it's kind of like looking at who does that impact the most, right? Like who has we've talked about this. You've joined me for a couple episodes of previewing offensive players, right? The one of the few that I didn't really preview was with anybody was that was important was the offensive line. So, and the offensive line, I did it myself, and I don't think that the offensive line is going to greatly be impacted by the quarterback play. We know that we've seen them be good with the worst version of Baker Mayfield, right? So, like, we know a lot about what the offensive line is, but then you start talking about as we did these predictions, and I think you and I did together the Mike Clay from ESPN all the way through. So what I would say here is looking at who is impacted the most of these skill guys. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that, or it could be beyond skill guys could even be, and I'm going to do a little bit of this myself as some front office people here. But yeah, I'm curious who your sort of like three most impacted people, coaches, players, front office people are from this decision that the NFL is about to bring down. If it's a long suspension, who is either good or bad? It could be good or bad. I should preface that too, Brad. This could be an opportunity for somebody. So yeah, hit me with some people that you have and I'll kind of give you some of mine too.
Yeah, just a real quick thought on this topic. So I kind of, when you gave me the topic to kind of look at, I kind of broke it down like this in my head as I was thinking about it, right? Like, there will be people affected on the field via opportunity, less opportunity, better opportunity, worse opportunity, and then also on the field, how they'll be evaluated. Like, you know, guys are evaluated differently on a winning team versus a losing team as well. So that's category one for me, kind of, right? And then there's people that will be affected off the field. And when I talk about off the field, I mean more like time. There are time becomes a factor for certain people on the roster. Contract length, why you're here, when, how long you're here, when, you know, that affects this as well. And then there's both, right? There's that will affect your play on the field by Watson not being there all season or most of the season, and it affects you in a time way. And those are the people I think that will be affected the most.
I would agree with that. So if you're looking at like individual players here, guys that stand out to me who are in an important situation, right? I think for me, Anthony Schwartz rings a bell. Like, yes, he just is a guy who I think Watson would do wonders for using that portion of the field, right? And giving him better opportunity. He's not going to get a ton of opportunity regardless, right? Like, that's, to me, that's fairly obvious. Like, he's not just going to get a ton of volume. So in the scenario where he's not getting a ton of volume, the quality of those opportunities to me, in a guy who's in his second year with something to prove, starts to become a little bit interesting, at least in my opinion. So he's one that stands out to me, partly because if you look at the other wide receivers, it feels like we either A, know who they are, or B, they're going to be here regardless. Like, Amari's going to be here for a couple years regardless. DPJ feels like he'll get more opportunity. So in the realm of getting more opportunity, he's going to still produce something that means he has a real chance to get a smaller second contract here. So I just think Schwartz is a guy that, in terms of using that portion of the field that we think he's going to use, it makes sense to me, Brad, that he would be a guy that would be, you know, just a guy that would struggle from not having him for a long, this whole year, pretty much, if we're talking about that scenario.
100% agree. I have him written down, and I actually have DPJ written under him. I had Schwartz first and DPJ under him. And here's why. I'll explain. I kind of put those two together. Like, they need Watson, I feel like, this year. Because I feel like, okay, once again, we're talking about on the field and time become a factor for both of them. Like, they both need to kind of prove something now. Schwartz more than DPJ, right? But they need to prove something now so they would benefit hugely from having Watson on the field. Him off the field could hurt them badly. If Brissett's your quarterback for 17 games, that's going to totally change their numbers, their season production. And if you look at the other guys, like, for me, David Bell, doesn't matter what he does, he's going to be a part of this thing in 23, right? Same thing with Amari Cooper. Like, no matter what he does with Brissett, you can chalk it up to, hey, it was Brissett, he'll be here next year. Those two guys are safe, but I feel like these two have something to prove, and time is becoming a factor for them. So that's why I like those two. So I'll kind of piggyback on your Schwartz and add DPJ a little bit. Because, I mean, we know pass catchers are going to be the biggest impacted guys, skill players, generally speaking. We're talking about a quarterback missing for 17 games.
Yeah, too, it's like, I just think when you talk about what portion of the field Brissett isn't very good in and where we pinpoint Schwartz and where we think Watson has found success with that Will Fuller type of guy anyway, to me, it equals that as far as wide receivers go. My second is David Njoku. Like, I really... I really think that another year of him having lackluster production is just going to continue to sound alarm bells across the league. It won't matter. David's contract is his contract. He's here. But as far as finally putting up a 700-800-900 yard season and showing people that who the Browns think he is a real thing, you start to really see that in jeopardy with a quarterback that's not Watson's caliber. So that is an easy one to me to pinpoint in terms of a guy who I just think will struggle. And I want to clarify, we're not really looking at people who will just be guaranteed gone or anything crazy like that. We're just kind of talking about who will struggle without him in terms of, like, and we can talk ramifications too, but
sure,
you know, it's pretty clear to me that Njoku just won't have that dynamic tight end year a lot of us have thought he could have if you were getting
with Watson,
a 16, 17 game Watson season, or even eight, you know, you could start to justify it at eight. So, that's just a guy I think is pretty inclined to struggle just because of the scenario there.
I have him written down as well. I also, this is going to be kind of weird, we didn't plan it this way, but I also threw Harrison Bryant in there too. And here, let me piggyback off that, ask you a question here. If Watson is out for the season, let's say, do we see this offense revert back to maybe what we've seen with Mayfield in the past more? Or are they past that, in your opinion, Jake? Like, they won't go back to, I mean, because then all of a sudden maybe Harrison Bryant becomes a bigger factor because now they're running more heavier sets because we're in the run game more because it's Brissett, and that's the kind of style of offense they're just going to run. Do we see that happen if there's no Watson all year?
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to think we wouldn't, in my opinion. We should be planning on seeing, and I'm going to talk about Kevin here in a moment, we should be planning on seeing a lot of different wrinkles to what Kevin's offense is with Watson, because of just the nature of what he's been as a quarterback and what he's comfortable with is different than what other people are comfortable with. So if it is Brissett, I think it's going to be locked into being pretty similar to what you've seen from Baker. And that's, they can still win ball games with that offense. They can still do a lot of nice things with that offense, but it's just going to be similar. I think if the fun thing is to look at it and be like, okay, I see all these new wrinkles they're putting in with Watson. Here's example A, B, and C about what they're doing different and why they're altering a lot about what they are. But if they're with Brissett, they're going to try to minimize the impact the quarterback can have, right? So in that, you're going to see a lot of heavy protection. You're going to see a lot of simplified route concepts. You're going to see a lot of, just stuff that we've seen traditionally from Stefanski, yeah, where he's helped Baker with half-field reads and things like that. So that's a great point from you, and I think that's going to be a fairly obvious outcome in this whole thing is that idea that the offense will look really similar to what it has been in his first 2 years because the quarterback will be pretty similar. So, yeah.
So I think Harrison Bryant and Njoku, piggyback off of Njoku, I think Harrison Bryant takes on a huge role then. You know, if there is no, with Watson here, I think we're going to see a lot more 11 personnel. With Watson not here, I think we might revert back to those heavier sets, and Bryant becomes a bigger part of this offense, I think.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I think there's no doubt about that, either on the field as a fullback or on the field as that. I mean, I think they're going to live in that personnel anyway, in terms of, like, I think they're going to live in 12 personnel, which means he'll be on the field quite a bit anyway. Okay. That's going to be, to me, my hunch is that was going to be the biggest change, was they'll go from more 13 personnel and give a lot of those 13 personnel snaps to now 12 personnel. But there was a chance to me that they could go a lot more 11 because of Watson and what Watson can do and make the most out of a lot of situations. So, yeah, I mean, again, Bryant should get opportunity. No reason he wouldn't get opportunity, but obviously the quality of those opportunities is always going to be better, right? So and to me, it's like, I'm not really worried about him. This is just me, and I know I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I'm not altogether too worried about his production one way or the other as fireworks go off. That's the worst thing about the weekend of 4th of July, Brad, being on a Monday, is that all weekend now, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, people are going to shoot off fireworks. And it's like, man, people have kids, and you're shooting off fireworks at 10 o'clock at night. It's like, the most annoying thing to me, but that makes me sound like an old man yelling at the cloud stuff. But hey man.
I feel you, brother.
I think we nailed this topic in terms of Njoku and Bryant. I think they'll see the field plenty still, but the quality of the targets for tight ends is just not going to be like, there's not going to be those RPO cheapies or those play action cheapies where, you know, if you go back and watch a lot of that Brandon Fells stuff when he was getting these nice opportunities from Watson, it was largely tied to some play action stuff where there was extra man in the box and teams had to account for that. And then they'd run him across in split zone action. And when they snuck him out in split zone action, it was giving opportunity for a tight end to sneak across and then get out in the flat. It was just, they're just not going to have that. So, yeah, that's just kind of my hunch, is that it is going to be pretty similar to last year, which in my opinion, not a bad thing. I mean, if they can just complete some of the simple stuff that they weren't completing last year, they'll have every chance to be just fine and get plenty of yards.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah, totally agree. I'm going to throw a wild card at you here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go defensive side of the ball, and obviously this is more of kind of what I was talking about with my three categories, right? Mm-hmm. This is more of how it affects him, not so much, off the field and mentally and things like that, more than it does, obviously, statistically, as the first few examples we have are game plan-wise. But Jadeveon Clowney came back to play with Deshaun Watson. He's on a one-year deal. He wants to win. So what does that do? I mean, it's a wasted year. Now, you know, you can throw... I'm going to have some honorable mentions at the end. I'll mention real quickly that some of them are going to be on the defensive side of the ball, but this is kind of the big one for me. It's a big deal for him, right? He wouldn't have came back if Baker was going to be quarterback. He wasn't down with that. So you're in this situation where he's like, yeah, he wants to play with his old teammate. He wants to win, and now you're in this situation. If he's out for the whole season, that impacts him big, I think.
I think so, too. It has a mental impact about, you know, like you're saying, how locked in will he be? How locked in will the whole team be? I think that's worth discussing. After the weird year that last year was and everything that came with that year, I think that all of these guys were so looking forward to the opportunity to play with Watson, a better quarterback, right? To play with a better quarterback, to have a better offense, a more efficient offense. And it's like, man, and everybody loves Jacoby. There's no doubt. I mean, he has got the respect of people across the NFL. But, like, I just wonder how locked in everybody, how big will the belief be at that point, you know? Because, hey, we got this guy. He's as a quarterback, he's a dog, man. Like, we know we got him, but he can't play. You know, and how much effort do you throw into things at that point? You know, it starts to, and I think we saw this last year, Brad. We saw it when the offense continued to struggle and Mayfield got worse and worse. The defense just is like, eventually, I can't do anything else. I'm just tired of this. Like, you know, so I think that will play a part in this whole thing. And that's a good call out right there.
And the other thing is just time, right? Like, it's another season. He's getting older, you know. It's time is a huge factor here. It makes it feel like a wasted year. Like one of the biggest things, and I've been probably kind of repeated what you said so elegantly. The one on one of our shows is, you know, regardless of what happens here, and you know, people ask this question all the time. But, you know, do the Browns regret this? No, they don't regret it because he's going to be the quarterback for the next 10 years. You know, it's big picture, right? Stop thinking such short, you know, short term. It's big picture. But for a guy like Jadeveon Clowney, it's not so big picture. It's right now, right? You can't really afford to throw away a year.
And some of these guys are in a similar position, right?
Yes.
Like, they, even though they're young, I mean, it's just, it's tough, no matter what, to waste a year. You know,
Greedy, Grant Delpit, these guys need to be kind of, them being on a winning team helps their chances of an extension, helps their chances of their next job. So yeah. If you're on not as good of a team, right?
Yeah.
I think that those are kind of some of my honorable mention defensive guys right there. Delpit, time is a factor, right? Greedy Williams, time is definitely a factor. So, like, those guys, yeah. I think, are impacted by this as well.
Yeah, definitely impacted by it because you're right about the winning results equal more eyes and opportunity to make plays in prime time, all that stuff, man. I would say that I think we've hit on everybody. I think it's really going to impact. I don't think it's going to impact the running game one way or the other. So I'm not going to really say a running back's going to be all too changed. They might prefer to get a worse quarterback so they can run it a ton. but I don't think that's true. But in the terms of, I bet some fantasy owners feel that way. But
yeah,
in terms of just who this could impact the most and in a negative light, it's Kevin Stefanski. I mean,
yeah.
Kevin is he. I say this all the time. Having been around covering the Browns for a while now, like I think the least understood thing in sports is play calling, and especially on offense, what it takes, what it entails, who's to blame, and people incorrectly blame Stefanski for so many things that it's kind of hilarious. And if they are not good this year, if they struggle, and I'm talking, it could not have been any more obvious to a person than last year. Like, Mayfield couldn't do certain things. They were trying to shield him from doing things he obviously couldn't do. Then he would miss the things he's supposed to do, right? Like, he was supposed to be able to hit a wide open corner route when the play action scheme opens it up for you. That's a no-brainer. He should be able to do that. So it's like that people start to blame Stefanski for all of the wrong things, and then all of a sudden he's the one that people are trying to justify as the issue. And it just got hilarious to me how the narrative for some, not everybody, I think I'm just going to say it, like, if you think Kevin Stefanski was the problem, we just don't watch the same sport. Like, we just don't watch the same sport.
Totally
so,
agree. Yeah.
Like, if you believe that, and I'm sure the offense without Deshaun is going to struggle. They're just not going to be very good for obvious reasons here. So it's like, hey, are you going to be willing to be patient and understand the hand that these guys were dealt here? Not that they didn't make a little bit of the decision to go get Deshaun and know that there's some caveats with it. Kevin said, as far as being out in front of the public, he's like, I'm all on board and I'm totally get it. But like at this point, he's kind of just dealing with whatever the hand is that they're dealt. So if you think the Browns offense is going to be some light show when Jacoby Brissett's the quarterback and it's not, and then you want to blame Stefanski, I think that it's going to be, that could be a really unfortunate byproduct where it just turns into like this narrative shift of Kevin's not the guy. And I could not believe in any head coach more that the Browns have had. I can't, since they've come back, I really believe this guy is great if they get the right setup for him. So I just think that Stefanski is the one I genuinely worry about the most. I really do.
Me too, Jake, and I am defending him all the time, and I agree there is a narrative out there, and there's a group of fans out there that really think that he failed the team last year, and I totally agree with your comments there. Don't you think, though, front office-wise, he gets a pass no matter what this year? Like,
I hope, but you never know. There's like these things take off, and we know how Jimmy Haslam can be. We just know. And if the media takes it, and I'm a part of the media, if enough of the media that has a voice that matters takes it, runs with it, Kevin's the problem, it grows publicly amongst the fan base. I am in the belief that they're too smart to let that sort of nonsense happen, but it could have an impact on who people think he is. I mean, like, There are people who rank him behind some coaches that are hilarious. I'm not going to go into it, but like, again, he was a part of turning this around and took them to the playoffs in 20. And like, what do you think was the problem last year? What do you think? So I think Stefanski's the one I've keyed in on the most, but I think that I'm slanted toward trying to get people to understand this more than anything else. And that part of it can get a little frustrating to me at times.
Totally. Yeah. And I as far as Stefanski goes, I am of the belief that full hearted that he should get a pass this year. You know, if there's no Watson for a year, he gets a pass in my book and comes back next year. Now I know not everybody's going to feel that way, but that's the way I think it should go down. And I think that I would like to think that the front office will, you know, maintain the course, you know, stay the course well enough and remain smart about that to weather the storm, right, with mm-hmm. him. So
I would hope. And, I mean, Andrew Berry could get some really unnecessary pressure too, in my opinion.
Sure.
And I'm not – I'm less of the belief that Andrew will, because I think people across the league have mostly praised him, and really Kevin has had a lot of that too. But I think that there's an outcome where, and I do this spot every year, I haven't done it yet, of what's the, you know, we got all the positive things that could happen. What are the negative things that could happen, right? And I think if this season goes 6-11 or whatever that number is, because hey, they didn't have their quarterback for either 16, 17 games, or maybe they only get him for six games, right? If they suspend him for 12, well, it could go really south. And then at that point, people start wanting to question everything. And those questions that get asked, it's like, are those questions that somebody who makes decisions in the franchise is going to eventually just like, oh, he actually listened to him. I can't believe it. So you're always pins and needles with Jimmy Haslam, man. It's just the way
for sure. Yeah, totally understand that. But yeah, I mean, when it comes to Kevin Stefanski, I think you said everything there is about him. He's smart. He's prepared. He's cool headed. He will be. He made it wasn't on him last year. In my opinion, and I totally agree with your take on that. I hope they can see through the fog here and. The only way is through, brother. I keep saying it. The only way is through. Go through, same staff, same everything, and run it back with Watson next year. You know, get the best result you can this year. That mean by no means means I'm giving up on this season, because certainly there is a way to do it, right? With you know, a way to make positive things happen with Brissett. It's just going to look a lot different than it would with Watson.
Definitely agree. It's a crossing point here where, it goes without saying. I think we've covered it well. They have a chance to be unique offensively, and I mean really unique offensively if they end up with Watson getting a large portion of the game this year. Now that might get delayed into another year, but if they get him and we're talking about the here and now. Is a real chance to be a very unique offense. Now, I don't think it will be all too crazy with Jacoby and Josh Dobbs. That's just my thought process on it. But that all too crazy could still be good enough. So not trying to incite panic here, but I think you got to look at who it impacts. And I think we've done a nice job here looking at who this season-long suspension will impact the most.
Agreed. I couldn't put it any better myself, Jake. It's always a pleasure, sir.
Yeah, likewise, Brad. Let's put a bow on this thing. Guys, continue to check out Pods. I'm going to have a guest on tomorrow. Hopefully can get some of his time on my side to break down from a legal standpoint a lot of what the hearings are presenting and all of the minute details for you guys, because I think there's a lot of unknown going on with what's happening in these hearings. And Brad has done great coverage in the last week on his end of trying to bring agent perspective and different things like that on All Eyes on Cleveland. So make sure you subscribe to both podcasts. If you are not already, you should, because we spend enough time together that, you know, you should know both of our pods by now, and you're going to get quality shows. And that's why we do these crossovers. So check out Brad's channel, continue to check out mine. Appreciate you guys stopping in on a Saturday. And if you don't listen to another pod by Monday, have a great 4th of July, a great time with your family. Stay safe and be well. And you know, as usual, go Browns.